How you doing, guys? This is Coach Steve Rao here with PlayBallAcademy.com. We got a special guest here on an interview. We're going to talk to Coach Rick Herrig, and Rick is out there in Denver, Colorado. He does a lot of work with the mental aspect of the game, working with players of all ages. How you doing, Coach?
Great. How are you doing, Steve?
Very good. Very good. Before we get into what you do exactly, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into teaching players how to deal with the mental state?
Sure. I coached high school baseball for 20 years, and some of my players eventually ended up coming back and coaching for me, and then ended up deciding to get into pro baseball. And as I watched them go up the ladder in pro baseball, one's now a GM of an MLB team, and another good friend is was a national cross checker for one, and now an advanced scout with a different team. And lots of these guys that I just started to get to know and watch them go up the ladder in professional baseball, it just really always kind of piqued my interest. And one year I went into a major league team, and my friend that was at the time was the assistant GM, had an interview set up for me just to kind of get a feel for what it was like in major league baseball. And the interview was with the guy in the front office, the director of player development. And we started talking about different things about minor leagues, and our talk turned to the mental game. And we had an hour time slot, and it turned into two. And after this two-hour time slot, to make a long story short, the director asked me to, write some of the stuff down that we had talked about and send it to him. So on the way home from the trip, I was like, wow, I actually have a lot in the game of baseball on the mental side that somebody in the major leagues wants. And to make a long story short, I ended up creating a player manual for minor league baseball players and getting into their system and into another MLB system, and it ended up turning into, a whole new avenue and career for me.
Oh, okay, so you kind of fell into it by accident, so to speak.
Yeah, I did. I think there was a spark somewhere along the line that, I'm one of those guys that has a passion for baseball, and it was just an avenue that I really excelled at and found that there was a need, for that kind of a service.
Right. Now, when you you talk to players of all ages, right, or what areas or what players?
I do. I developed a program for the minor leagues, and then it very easily applied to college players. I had a program. I had a team out of Omaha, Nebraska, a high school team, used the program, and they ended up winning the state title. So it was developed for the real serious player at upper end. Now I'm now getting into quite a bit with the youth players, youth coaches, and youth parents, because there's a huge need to get this started a little bit earlier in their career, and it's a little bit, it's a little bit different take on how much you can give a younger kid, but certainly it's for all ages.
Right, and I think you can agree that even if you go sit there and watch a youth game, you can just see the emotions out there on the field, and like you said, they don't, at that young age, they don't really know how to control their emotions on the field. A lot of kids don't.
They don't, and really, it's the breeding ground for everything that's going to come in their baseball life, you have a lot of habits at older ages to break, and a lot of it is emotional.
Right. So, where does this all start? Like, what is the foundation of developing a good mental state?
The program that I've developed is systematic, so it really is from A to Z. It's not just let's have a 50-minute talk and motivate you to go out and play real well today. It's more about developing a philosophy, developing a player, taking a player and making him understand who he is as a player or who he wants to become as a player, and then giving him a roadmap to become that player.
Right, and I believe that now is goal setting a part of importance for this?
Yeah, it is. And, we've all been programmed as adults to know that goal setting is important, yet it's really most people's goals really don't really work. They kind of fail, in fact. And the reason is because the action required to make the goal come true isn't really ever put in place. And so in a baseball context, I've developed a system that allows you to set goals, and I call it performance goals, and I call them achievement goals, and I have two categories. And the achievement goals, you get to put numbers on them, and you get to do some kind of traditional baseball goals, but the performance goals really has nothing to do with the result. And one of the biggest problems with people's goals in baseball is that they look at results and they want to hit 400 or they want to hit 350 or they want to have an ERA, you know, of 2.0. And those result-oriented goals often just create more problems because they're looking at they're making goals either that they can't control or they're making goals that are really don't have a lot of success. I mean, if you're a 300 hitter in the major leagues, and you do that for a career, you're a Hall of Famer, you know, and 3 out of 10 in anything else in your life is pretty lousy.
Right.
So the goal system that I've created, the performance side of it, really looks at the process versus the results and how can we evaluate the process to become a better player versus just making goals that are result-oriented. So when you start with this question, are goals important, the biggest thing I can stress is the action required to make them come true. So within my program, I've got something called action goals, which are actually in-game actions that we teach the player to do that fit underneath of his performance standards, you know, his playing philosophy, and you know, who do I want to be as a baseball player? How am I going to get there? And these game actions are going to make that come true. And they're pretty easy to evaluate, and, you know, it really is different than a traditional goal system.
Okay. And now these action goals and performance goals, are you talking that it turns into some sort of routine for a player?
Right. You're setting up, you know, this is my philosophy. You know, let me give you an example. A player I worked with in the minor leagues was a very good defensive player, a shortstop, and he would carry his at-bats over to the field, and he would make errors because he was still holding on to the strikeout. And one of his performance goals, so this is his playing philosophy, was to break the game into two games, offense and defense, where the outcome of one won't affect the other. Mm-hmm. And now that's a goal, and that's just a kind of a philosophical, you know, this is my philosophical way I want to play, but how am I going to make that come true? So the action goals are things that he actually does in the game that allow that to come true, so that when it comes time to play defense, you know, he's going to be that top shortstop that he can be and not allow that at-bat to take over, you know, to be carried over into the field or vice versa. You know, a lot of times you'll see a guy make an error, come in and strike out.
Right.
So the action goals are ways to make those performance standards come true.
Right. Okay. And, You talk about confidence with a player, and you know, I get a lot of questions from parents and coaches that, you know, how can I build the confidence in my son or in my players, you know, when they strike out or they, like you said, you make an error and they're always down. So, you know, how would you go about that in building confidence, or how can coaches or parents build confidence in their players?
Yeah, and that's sort of like the magic, you know. The biggest question, and it's the most important question, and it's kind of like the chicken or the egg.
Right, I was going to say, does success breed confidence, or, you know, you have to be confident to be successful?
Yeah, exactly. So my first, first of all, confidence is the single biggest indicator for success in baseball. If you don't have it, you can't go very far. And so, you know, how do you develop that? And you need to be successful to be confident. So it's like this vicious cycle. My first kind of thought on it is that coaches and parents, they really need to reward hard work and effort and not just praise. I was at a clinic the other day, and a college coach was talking, and he talked about today's society gives the 11th place trophy. You know, everybody gets a ribbon for, you know, even the 11th place
right.
backrunner gets a ribbon, you know. And so certainly, you know, there's a lot to be said about praising and what have you. But in the game of baseball, praise is not necessarily a good thing. And I'm not saying don't praise. I'm just saying praise in a certain way and praise hard work and effort. And you really worked hard today versus, wow, John, you were 3-for-4 today. What a great game. And all you're doing when you praise in that way is you're building You know, we kind of get sucked into this sport, and the media, you know, looks at, you know, batting averages and wins and strikeouts, and again, it's all results, and my program really is going to teach process. You know, how can I be confident? How can I be competitive? How can I see the ball well? And if I do those things really well, then my results will actually take care of themselves. But if I focus on just the results and then I fail at it, which is normal because it's a game of failure, 3 out of 10 is good, but 3 out of 10 isn't good because you're failing 7 times, you know, then how can I stay confident? And so what you do is you develop this whole new way to redefine success, and you can put numbers on. Let me take a vision as an example. You can grade how well you see the ball as a hitter, and you can make up the scale however you want. You can say, you know, a terrible, terrible look, the worst look I ever had is a 0. And the greatest look I ever had is a 5. You know, the look you always get when you're given the take sign, that's a 5 look. And the reason it's a 5 look when you're given the take sign, you know, you always see the kid kind of roll his head back. That was the fattest pitch in the world when he was taken.
Right.
So the reason it was the fattest pitch in the world is just he quit thinking. He relaxed, and all he did was track the ball. You know, so that's a 5 look. Can I get a 5 look every time? Probably not. But could I put a number on my look and call it a 3 look or a 4 look and start evaluating the process versus the result? If you get a good look, you square up to the ball, you got a good chance to get a hit, that kind of thing.
Right. So basically what we're talking about is we try to get those players not to get in that stat mentality and worry so much, like you said, about the result. And we don't want those players to become stat guys, so to speak.
Right. And the way to do that is, again, it goes back to developing a system, because you can't just tell them to do it. You can't just say, hey, go do this. That it won't happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to teach them to do it, and it's a process. You have to teach them how to first redefine the game. This is what I want to focus on, these things. You know, I don't want to focus on 3 for 4. I don't want to focus on 2 for 4. I want to focus on getting a good look and put my barrel head on the ball. And so you start changing the way that you define success, and if I do that, I'm successful. And if you, and you know, really, the younger you can start teaching a kid to look at the game in a process way versus a results way, the better chance he's going to do. You know, he's going to gain confidence because he's evaluating things he can succeed with. You know, I can succeed with this. It may not turn into a hit, which is, you know, is a whole different story. But I can have success, you know, if I define it a certain way.
Right, and yeah, you know, and I look back at situations where I'm coaching players, and so many times I just hit a frozen rope to the shortstop, and comes out, you know, all, you know, upset, all this stuff. I'm thinking to myself, well, what are you mad about? You just hit lined out. I mean, that's what we're trying to strive for as a good at bat, you know, and so that's what we got to get out of these guys' minds.
Yeah, that player's been programmed that's an out, that's failure. You know, they're upset, they'll show body language. You know, hey, that's big-time success. I just hit a P as a shortstop, you know, that's success. You know, and that same player might hit a flare in the right, and, you know, really, you know, yes, he helped his team by getting on, and that is success anytime you can help your team. And I define what success is, and that's the number one thing I define. You know, if you help your team, you are successful. You know, that's first and foremost. But at the same time, that player, you know, is thrilled that they helped their batting average, but they really didn't. You know, they really had a horrible at-bat. And so if you start to teach them, you know, that success is competing, success is, you know, focusing, you know, the things that ultimately will make them a better player.
Right. Now, do you ever come across any guys that are almost unattainable, where you can't, just their personality types, that you just can't help them. I mean, you try and things just don't work for them.
Yeah, all the time. And really what you have to do is, if you could give them one small thing that'll work, and what they'll do is they'll come back for more. And you can't just, you know, they have to
experience. They've got to buy into it, right?
They do. They have to experience it. You can't just tell them, hey, you know, this is what I know about. This works. Go do it. You know, they have to experience it. And if you give them something that they experience and it works, then they want to know, you know, hey, what else you got? You know, and
right.
So like when I'll work with a minor league kid, you know, it might take me 9 1-hour sessions with a minor league guy to do the same thing that I could do with a college guy in an hour. It has nothing to do with intellect. It has to do with I don't need this. I'm at a level, that I don't need it. I'm here for a reason, and most of the time that's true. And at some point in their career, and this happens if you're 12 or if you're 22, at some point in your career you get to a place where you're not the best anymore. You're an average player in the little pool of players that you're in, at regardless of the level. And suddenly you start developing some crazy coping skills that you've, because you don't have the coping skills to be average. You've always been the best.
Right. Now, what in the system that you talk about, is there a way to quickly get someone out, and this is probably almost like a trick question, is there a way to quickly get someone out of a slump? Or do you try to avoid slumps?
Yeah, I mean, there is. There's, a slump is pretty much mental, because you start focusing on the slump. And again, one of my big things is that you need to focus on what you want. And when you start focusing on what you don't want, then you're really going to have a hard time, And so anybody that's listening, if I say close your eyes right now, and I do not want you to think about pink elephants, just don't do it. And we're going to pause for 3 seconds. And in that 3 seconds, no pink elephants are allowed to pop into your mind. Ready? Start. And it's pretty hard to do. Pretty hard to not think of a pink elephant when somebody puts that thought in your mind. So when you start thinking in knots, or you start focusing on what you don't want to do, you really do struggle with it, and a slump would fall into that category. And so the system that I'm talking about is, okay, that's easy. You just, how, capital H, capital O, capital W, how do you do this? How do you not focus on what you don't want? And again, that's where it's a system. You build the system, first of all, who am I? How am I going to get there? And then within that system, you create the action to allow that to come true. And part of that action is I'm not allowed to focus on the negatives. I'm not allowed to focus on what I don't want. And I've got action goals that allow me to do that in a game.
So it's a matter of not letting yourself get into that slump. And I know we look at some of the major league players out there who you just see these guys that just don't get into these long, 0 for 30s or whatever, and they just seem to have a better, frame of mind than some of these other guys do.
Absolutely. And the reason they have a better frame of mind is because they have learned to play in the moment. They have learned to let the past go, and that every day is a new day, and they take it further. Every at-bat is a new at-bat. It doesn't matter what I did in the last at-bat. Every pitch is a new pitch. It doesn't matter what I did, the last pitch. So ultimately, success is, in the game of baseball, is literally playing the game one pitch at a time, not caring about, I think A-Rod has that mantra. It's like, there is no past, there is no future, there is only the now, and yet he says that he's never been able to play a whole game in the moment. He still has some thoughts about, some distracting thoughts about what just happened or things going on in his life. Yes.
Right. Maybe you got over that.
Those players can do that. They can play in the moment. They don't care what just happened on the pitch before. It's part of the game. They get to move forward. And the players that can't do that, and that distracts them. Let me give you an example of a distraction. You read a book, and you read a couple of pages, let's say, and you get to you turn the page, and you just realize that you read two whole pages, and you didn't comprehend a single thing. Yet it took the physical action of turning that page to recognize that you just read two pages without comprehending anything. Your attention was divided. So you take that same concept in a baseball game, and you let two or three or a whole bat, you lose a whole at bat because you're still upset about that first pitch that you didn't swing at, or the bad call, or the lousy look, whatever it was. That's still distracting you from the next pitch and the next pitch and the next pitch. The next thing you know, you're sitting in the dugout and you don't know what happened. The players that don't have slumps, they don't do that. They just play in the now. They turn the page after every pitch, and it's a new independent event every single time. Doesn't matter what happened on the previous one.
Right. And now that takes us into something about, and I think this will help with that playing in the now. And this goes back to something I remember doing in college, like imagery and visualization. Now, I know that's part of your program, and I'll just tell you briefly, and you can let me know if this is kind of what we're talking about here. I can recall being back in college and starting to practice. Our coach would have us lay down on our backs out in the grass, and and we would literally lay there and he'd talk to us in kind of like a gentle tone and say, you know, envision yourself out in the ball field, whether it's like, say I'm a pitcher, I was a pitcher, so you're, like, you're on the mound, you smell the grass, you hear the noises, and get yourself in a nice situation and see yourself in the perfect delivery, the perfect motion, making that perfect pitch that, you know, throwing it exactly where you want to throw it. And, you know, the hitter's the same thing, the perfect at bat, perfect swing and all that. Does that sound right. Something familiar?
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, the most important thing about imagery and visualization, there's two things, really. One is that it's legitimate. And, you know, science has come so far in the last 10 years because they can now image the brain, and, you know, they couldn't before. Now they can actually see that when you imagine you're doing something, you know, and it works better with the skill you've already acquired versus a new skill.
Mm-hmm.
So in baseball, if you imagine playing baseball, your parts of your mind don't care that it's not real. And they're going through the same process as if it were real. So, you know, the science has really shown, you know, they'll, like as an example, they'll lay the U.S. ski team in a chair and they'll put these little, you know, little wires all over their body and they'll imagine skiing the course in their mind. And the little electromyograph machine that's measuring the brain waves and the signals to the muscles, the brain is communicating to the muscles the same way as if they were really doing it. So the brain doesn't care that it's real or imagined. So now suddenly in the world of visualization, you can get a lot of practice in, you know, that you can't do physically, you can do mentally, and you can really improve your game. So that's number one important. Number two important is the definition of imagery and visualization. When I work with players, everybody's so different. Some guys are like dream states. They can imagine like it's a movie or a dream, and other guys can hardly get anything, and there's no rules, you know, and so guys that can't get a lot can grow a lot because they practice it, and just like anything else, they get better at it, and it's amazing in just two or three sessions how you can get better at, you know, what you were just saying. You lay in the grass and you imagine playing this game, and you can get better and better at it, and, you know, so there is no right or wrong, you know, and some people have real in-and-out experiences, like they can imagine something for, you know, a few seconds, and it goes away, and then it comes back, and it goes away, and that's great. You know, it doesn't have to be a movie or a film strip.
Right. And for anybody out there that maybe is hesitant to believe something like this, I mean, if your own experiences, if you wake up from a dream or a nightmare or something like that, and you ever have your heart pumping faster, you're a little sweaty, I mean, that's a perfect example of your mind just tricking your body into making something that's not real, you know, believable.
It is, and your conscious is shut down, so your conscious part of your brain can't overrule and say, this isn't real, you know. And so even like a movie experience, you go into a movie and you get lost in a movie. If it's a really good movie, you know, you get absorbed in it. When you walk out of the movie theater, you almost have to snap out of it because you were in a different place for a little while. And, you know, and because you, you know, so when you are your brain is very capable of creating these images, and you know, if you systematically allow those images to help you in baseball, then you've got an advantage over somebody else. And if you listen to somebody talk in the major leagues, they almost all do it. You know, they all imagine not only outside of the game but during the game, and that's a real big one, to imagine what you want to have happen before it happens. And there's a lot of science that shows that too can be, you know, if nothing else, it puts you in the right frame of mind for what's, you know, focusing on what you want and be feeling successful as you're about to, you know, attempt it.
Absolutely, and I can remember in my playing days when I would actually focus on or imagine a pitch from pitch to pitch. Like if I really want to come up and in on a righty as a right-handed pitcher, and it's a tough pitch to throw out under the hands, and, you know, I would imagine that pitch and see it in my mind just going right to my spot. And so it can be from pitch to pitch, you know, as a hitter, pitcher, it can be on the bench while you're waiting to go into the game, you know, whatever the case is.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's a really good way, you know, ultimately, rather than thinking in words, you want to think in pictures. So if you can, because that's the part of your brain that's going to play the game, the visual, you know, the right brain player, you know, you want to be that kind of guy. The left brain player is the talker, the self-talker, the chatter in your head that everybody has. but it's distracting. You know, it's that I read the whole page and I didn't comprehend it until I turned the page. I had the whole at-bat, and I didn't know I was distracted by my own self-talk until the at-bat was over.
Right.
You know, so that whole concept of thinking in pictures is something that you really can do. And here's a great example. There's a Division I kid I was working with, and he had called me on the phone, and he said, "Coach, I never, ever, the guy was throwing, we faced today, was throwing 96-97, and I've never felt that out of control in my whole life at bat." And what happened was he was in the batter's box, and he was saying, "Don't swing at the high one, don't swing at the high one." And sure enough, here comes a high pitch, and he swings and just gets blown away. He's in the batter's box. "Don't swing at the high one. Don't swing at the high one. Strike two. Don't swing at the high one. Don't swing at the high one. Strike three." And he's dumbfounded. He's like, "I've never been that out of control. What happened?" And I said, "It's because you were thinking in knots, you know, that pink elephant thing. You were telling yourself what not to do, and your brain can't, you got swing in your head. You don't have don't swing at the high one. You can't comprehend that. How about you think in pictures next time? You imagine the high one. You imagine yourself taking it. And you can do that in between pitches. You can do that even if you made the mistake and you went after the high one. You can imagine in the 25 seconds it's going to be between now and the next pitch, you can imagine replaying that event the way you wanted it to happen. So now you've got that fresh in your, you know, in your head instead of this don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, or all the distracting negative talk."
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's good stuff, and it's definitely something I know it's helped me in the past, and I definitely advise coaches and parents listening out there to try to get your players to use visualization techniques. And of course, I want to get into your product here about these techniques and goal setting, building confidence, and all that stuff. Now, you didn't just wake up and you're all of a sudden throw something out in the market here, and we're trying to. You're doing this now. This is kind of your job these days.
It is, and I was on the road quite a bit doing college seminars, and I would go into a college and I would, do a 6-hour deal, and we would do all this stuff that I'm talking about and lay it out systematically. And I realized that, I'd give a 5-minute break and I'd have 10 kids come running up to me and ask extra questions. And I started to realize that there's just this huge need for it. And so I developed this, DVD series. It's actually now all on digital video where you just download it. And so it's the whole program that I would go in and do with a college program in a 5-video set. And it goes through all the things that we were talking about plus a whole lot more. Two of the videos are just on imagery and how to do it. And I give like all kinds of little baseball specific exercises to get better at it, basically have you do what you told me you did. You lay down in the outfield grass. Well, you can have this video running and sit back in your chair or lay on a bed or a couch and basically do the same thing.
Right. Yeah, it sounds good. And like I said, I think it's definitely beneficial. I know you say you work a lot with college players and professional players, but now, if we can teach coaches of youth players to learn these techniques and they can transfer that over to their players, I think, these kids 12, 14, 15 years old can definitely benefit from this.
They can, and I think, the 5-video set was designed for an advanced player to sit down and work through the program, without anybody helping them. Now, you can do the same thing with a whole group of younger players by letting the coach work through the program and then rolling the program out to his younger players over time instead of just sitting them all down. A parent the same way. A parent, I get the question, what is the age that we should really start working on some of this? And I can't say there's an age. I think at any time, I think if you're 10 years old, there's a place for a lot of it. There's a lot of really good techniques that you can give a kid that will work in the game tomorrow. You can give them certain things to do that will help them focus on what they want versus what they don't want. So really the parent can get the system and then roll it out when they think it's appropriate to their son, and the coach can do the same thing to his team.
And I believe this is not only a skill that you can apply to baseball, you could probably apply this to other sports and even maybe your schoolwork or whatever for kids, right?
Yeah, very much so. I it's funny because I would be coming home on an airplane from doing one of these and end up talking to somebody, you know, hey, what do you do? Oh, you know, this and that, what do you do? And before you get off the plane, that you've been invited to speak at their company, you know, as some management thing, you know, could you just basically, you know, go through the same thing in a company context? And I would always say no, and you know, it's not my world, and I'm a baseball
right.
guy. This is all baseball, and, you know, and then I started to hear it so often that I actually took somebody up on it. And, you know, it took me a long time to prep it and to change it to the context of the company, but it ended up being the same stuff in a different context, and it was really well accepted. And so, yes, I mean, somebody that's not in baseball as a career, you know, they can not only teach their son or daughter or their team some of this stuff in a baseball context, but they can apply it to whatever they're doing.
Sounds good. Well, listen, I appreciate your time. I know you got things going on, and I'm going to tell everybody out there that, you know, you can look below this recording here, and you can find a link or a button to go out to Rick's site. And what's your web address, Rick?
Mine is www.baseball-cap.net. And
okay.
I've got
you
another
can find
site
your product there.
I got another site called playitinthenow.com, but playinthenow.com, but the baseball cap one will take you to that one. It basically divides you into either an individual or a team and takes you one way or the other.
Okay, great. So anybody out there that wants to get on this program or at least check it out, I advise you do so, at least look into it, and you can go ahead and click that link below and you're good to go. All right, Coach, I appreciate it very much. And, I'm sorry?
I said good deal, and I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. All right, Griff,
okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye now.